Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Keeping appointments is crucial for business success, but God has a heavenly iPhone for His people, and sometimes He calls with sudden changes in His list of things for us to do. Today, how the Holy Spirit sets the agenda for a child of God. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Acts chapter 8. Erwin Lutzer comes now to teach us that when God is first, He owns our appointments.
So what does it mean to put God first? We're learning, aren't we? One of the things that God demands when we put Him first is it is the end of our individual rights. I no longer have a right to this, a right to that, because my rights have been laid at the foot of the cross when God is first. When God is first, we develop intimacy with the Holy Spirit. You may be saying, well, Pastor Lutzer, since you're preaching these sermons on putting God first, what has this series of messages meant to you? And you know, of course, that my messages do me a whole lot more good than they do you. Because if they don't do good to me, they can't do good to you. One of the things that has grown out of it is my desire to really seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Because it's interesting that I read in Acts chapter 2, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said this and that. And then we read that Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit. Philip, filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying to myself, you know, I think I've experienced some of the filling of the Spirit, but I think that there's something deeper that I need to get. I read what these men experienced, and it was wonderful indeed. So we're all learning, aren't we, what it means to put God first, completely first in our lives. Because you see, what God wants to do is to say, I want to use you, I want to direct you, I want to help you. And I need to be not only resident, but I need to be president. I need to be first. We deceive ourselves in this area, of course. We say that God is first, and the reason we know it's true is because we've sung the right songs, or we've said the right words. But if you're really honest before God, you know that making Him first is more difficult than you realize it is. Today we're going to look at the life of a man who was a deacon, who ended up being an evangelist, and who discovered that when God is first, God controls our appointments. He directs our lives to an appointed end. The story is in Acts chapter 8. Philip, whom we met last time as one of the deacons who was chosen in Acts chapter 6, Philip is having a great revival in Samaria. It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 4, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they paid close attention to what he said, and evil spirits came out of people, and the crowd just got larger. I have to tell you, in all honesty, preachers love crowds. The more people, the better. Here Philip is experiencing a great revival, and suddenly the Holy Spirit says, leave what you are doing and go to the desert, because there's somebody there whose heart I am preparing for the gospel. And when God is first in our lives, first of all, He sends us. I'm actually reading now verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he meets an Ethiopian eunuch. Go, God says. Isn't it interesting that the angel tells Philip to go, but the angel can't spread the gospel himself? You know, angels know the gospel. They saw Jesus Christ die. They understand the terms of the gospel without taking evangelism explosion courses. The angels get it right. God says, no, no, no angel. If the gospel's to be proclaimed, it is to be through the voice of a human servant. So God says, go, Philip, go and make the invisible God visible to this man who is seeking. And so the Spirit of God said to him, go, I'm sending you. Some time ago, my wife sent me to the post office to send a package, I didn't take the package and just leave it at the post office and say, well, go ahead, pay your own postage. Packages aren't used to paying their own postage. You have to pay it for them. In the very same way, when God sends us, he gives us the resources to do his will. And so when the Holy Spirit of God said to Philip, go, God says, Philip, I've given you a good pair of legs because you're going to need this pair of legs to catch the chariot. And God says, I'm going to give you whatever it is that you need to fulfill my will. Go, and I will give you what you need to accomplish what I intend to be accomplished. And so the Spirit of God said to him, go. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, what was the rest of the verse? Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age. Yes, he sends us. Listen to me carefully. God does not send you anywhere that the grace of God can't keep you and bless you. When he sends, he provides. Secondly, the Spirit of God guides us. You'll notice that he starts out and on his way he meets an Ethiopian and an important official of the charge of all the treasury of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip is running along, and the Spirit now is speaking to him and saying, just stay near the chariot, stay by it, don't get too close yet, because he's in only Isaiah 52. And what I want to do is to get him into Isaiah 53 before you connect. So give him a couple of minutes, just hang near the chariot, run alongside, but don't interact with him just yet. So Philip is walking along and running along alongside the chariot, and then the Spirit says, now it's time, because he's into Isaiah 53. And so Philip catches him in Isaiah 53 and says to this man, do you understand what you're reading? And he says, who can? I can't unless it's explained to me. Talk about God instrumental in connecting the very timing of this event. Now, what do we know about this Ethiopian? He was an African from south of Egypt. That's where Ethiopia was in those days. It was a large region south of Egypt. We know that he was an official. We know that he was wealthy. He was riding in a chariot. That was the BMW of the age, for sure. Not everybody had their own chariot. We also know that he had power, but he was spiritually empty. Now catch this. Here's a man who's willing to leave his own religion, his own region, go all the way to Jerusalem, about 200 miles. And as he approached the temple, I'm sure that he thought, this is where I'm going to find God. And he gets there and discovers hypocrisy and emptiness and deadness, lectures about the law. And he returns empty. And so Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And he says in verse 31, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And so the Ethiopian says, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? And Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told them the good news about Jesus. The man's reading right in Isaiah 53, where Jesus is presented as the Lamb of God giving himself up for the life of the world, the substitution of Jesus on the cross for sinners. What better passage to preach Jesus? Have you ever met somebody who's got it all? Somebody who has money, who has a focused career, somebody who is wealthy, somebody who's in the higher strata of society. And you've thought to yourself, what in the world do I have to share with him? Why would he be interested in Jesus? I want you to know today he may have all that and more and yet be very, very empty. One of the reasons you find people who are so driven oftentimes is because they're trying to cover the emptiness in their lives that they will not face. Here's a man who in Jerusalem experienced religion but not reality, form but not fulfillment, law but not grace. He was introduced to Judaism but not to Jesus. And he met the priests who offered sacrifices, but he left without any peace. Doesn't that describe many, many people in Chicago and in the cities of this nation?
My friend, I can hardly describe how empty a life is that doesn't know Jesus Christ personally. You see that more clearly as their life begins to end and they look back wondering what it was all about. We here at Running to Win are deeply committed to help people to understand this, that the new birth that Jesus brings about in our hearts by the Holy Spirit is a radical change of heart. Recently in my devotions, I was reading the story of where Jesus was being asked about why it is that his disciples didn't properly wash their hands. And Jesus said, you know, it's fine to do that, but washing your hands does not wash your heart. The new birth actually washes our hearts, so to speak, and takes out a heart of stone and puts in a heart of love. So I have to ask you, are you born again? That's why we're making available for you a book entitled The New Birth by Peter Mead. For a gift of any amount, this book can be yours. It's very readable. As a matter of fact, he also uses illustrations to help us to get to the bottom of the miracle that God does in those who savingly believe on Jesus Christ. Remember this, it isn't just a change of mind, it's actually a change of heart brought about by God. You cannot give yourself the new birth. That has to come from God. Once again, we're making available this resource. One of the last days it's available, it's entitled The New Birth by Peter Mead, a teacher in England.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer has begun his message, He Owns Our Appointments, the last in his series, When God is First, taken from the Book of Acts. Next time, more about making the most of God's appointments. Peter Mead has written a book about the need for the new birth, the dividing line between the saved and the unsaved. A copy of The New Birth will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about the new birth. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.